Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to our class, and today we're going to have the second day about how women are changing the tech world, but the men should listen in too, and so we'll have this part two coming right up. Yes, Bill, isn't that right? This article is not just for women, it's for everybody.
It is for everybody, Doris, men and women, because if men want to be up on things, then you need to be aware of the trends that are happening. And this was very informative for me.
Well, one thing I think about this article, which is on pages 26 and 27, it's interesting to note statistics on things. But when you get right down to it, it shouldn't matter if you're a man or a woman, if you can do things, or if you're black or white or what kind. You know, if a person can do the job, they should do it, no matter what their nationality. And
exactly.
If a woman can do it, fine. If a man, it doesn't really make that much difference to me. I think whoever can do it. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, that is true, Doris.
You
know, unfortunately, in the past, there was this boys' club that even if there were women who were qualified and capable, they still were excluded through things like sexual discrimination. They weren't getting opportunities because they were females. And so, but that is changing.
And, you know, we talked about the glass ceiling. The glass ceiling, let's say again what the glass ceiling means.
Well, basically, it's a ceiling that you can see up there, but it's like they won't let you come. They won't let you get up there.
So come,
maybe all the top executives are up there, and they're all male, and you're down at middle level, and you want up there, but you're female, and it's still an old boys' club in your company, so you can't get up there.
Well, and the glass ceiling could be used for people of different nationalities. You don't belong to this country or this race of people, so you can't do it. So the glass ceiling is anybody who can't get up there for some reason that has nothing to do with their qualifications, right?
No, it blocks their progress, and it's the reason they say glass ceiling is because it's kind of invisible. You can't really see it, and certainly nobody will ever say, Lois, you can't be VP of marketing because you are a female. No, they'll say something like, well, you know, Joe Smith, he's got a degree from Stanford and you don't. So that was the difference. You were really good, but we're going to hire him.
Right. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. Things are changing quite a bit now. And today we're going to start on page 27. But as we were closing yesterday, we talked about this one company called TaskRabbit. And it says it's an eBay of odd jobs. And I think we should mention a little more about that because eBay is where you can find a lot of things to buy, I thought. Can you find jobs on eBay? Not really, can you?
Well, it's not really a place for jobs to be looking for work on there, but this is just a place where people are reselling things. So it's an auction site. You put things up for sale and for bid. So
it's a place where you find things that you ordinarily wouldn't find. Maybe Lois has something for sale, and she doesn't put an ad in the paper. She puts it on eBay, so I contact her.
Yeah.
Now, how does that compare to this TaskRabbit, Bill?
Well, it's a service-based website. eBay might be – you can sell things. You see people selling a lot of items, like old items or used items. But TaskRabbit has to do with people being able to hire people to come by and do odd jobs.
Not a permanent job, just a temporary job.
Temporary things
temp
that you might
jobs
need
then.
Done. Right?
Yeah.
Wash your car, do some lawn care work, assemble furniture, things like that.
Okay.
It's really a good idea, and like I was sharing, there's other sites like that too. There's one used a lot in Canada called Kijiji, and you can definitely find things to buy there, but you can also find services.
You said your son had even used it.
Yeah, he'd even used it. He needed to supplement his income a bit, and for maybe half a month, he got an extra job and helping a woman with her landscaping, kind of assisting her, but also doing it on his own too, and it was really nice. It was a nice experience. He didn't have to go door to door. It was basically in his community.
I wonder what the tax people say. Do you have to report your taxes when you earn money on those? Well, that's another question.
To a certain amount, you do. Yeah. If it's under, you don't.
My guess is yes, because I think the purchaser would have to end up paying some way through TaskRabbit that would end up then paying the person and then have to issue an income statement. So that probably is taxable.
Yeah, that's because it's not that easy nowadays, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's some of the things. You can look those up. And, Bill, you thought that was an interesting site, TaskRabbit.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of interesting sites in this article, and we're going to learn about some more today.
Okay, so page 27, it says, start it up, sisters, or women, come on, let's just get going. Let's read the first column today.
Start it up, sisters. 5 years ago, starting and funding a female-led tech company would have been a formidable task, says Vivek Wadhwa, a fellow at the Rock Center for Corporate Governance at Stanford University. But today, women are helping each other through groups such as Women Who Code, Astia, and Girls in Tech, and some venture capitalists are warming up to backing companies led by women. We women try to band together and look out for each other, says Britt Morin, 26, founder of Britt. In April, she landed $1.25 million in seed funding for Weduary, a web app for building wedding sites. It's great to be a woman in tech. It's definitely a buzzy time, says Katia Beauchamp, 29, CEO of Birchbox, a monthly subscription service for grooming and beauty products. We're blazing a path, but we're also benefiting from other pioneers. Foremost among those receiving credit is Sheryl Sandberg, Facebook's chief operating officer, who has successfully juggled running a multi-billion dollar company and raising a family while mentoring female execs. Sarah Leary, who co-founded Nextdoor, a private social network for neighborhoods, also credits the dramatic jump in angel investors who have taken their riches from Google, PayPal, eBay, and Yahoo and invested them in startups.
So as we start today, Bill, I'm going to have you begin to teach this lesson.
Yeah, we see here that even only 5 years ago, doing this, starting and funding a female-led tech company, would have been a formidable task, an extremely difficult task.
That's I like formidable. That word, formidable.
I love that word, too.
Formidable. What does it mean? Impossible?
Yeah, it can't be done. That's how I always think of formidable.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to overcome what needs to be done. That comes from this gentleman, Vivek Wadhwa, a fellow at the Rock Center for Corporate Governance at Stanford University.
That's an interesting name. That doesn't sound American to me.
He's actually of Indian ethnicity.
Right.
And interesting guy. He went undergraduate in Brisbane, in Australia, got a master's degree at NYU. He's been all over the place. He's kind of a do-it-all kind of corporate consulting kind of guy. He's worked for hundreds of companies. And right now he is working on expanding the role of women in the world of business. And now that term fellow, that doesn't mean, oh, just some guy at Stanford. He is actually there in a stated position that they are funding. So we say you're on a fellowship. So he's a fellow.
I didn't even know that Stanford had a Center for Corporate Governance. That's an interesting type of a title to have for the school.
You know what? This is an evolving field. Probably in the last 15 or 20 years, corporate governance, and that covers many things, particularly ethics. And because the reason this has all evolved is that because there's so much litigation, particularly in America.
Everybody's suing everybody, right?
And so it's extremely important that corporations have very specific guidelines on their own corporate governance.
Okay. So they know how to do them without getting into trouble, right?
Right.
Yeah. And how to run them.
For me, when I was looking at this paragraph and just reading it, I think what actually got my attention right away was the title of this paragraph, Started Up Sisters, made me think of a motorcycle right away or a race car or here goes the women. They got some power. They got some engines going here.
Get going, women, right?
Yeah, keep going.
But it's just today women are helping each other through these groups too, Women Who Code. And I've never heard of these other ones. Have you?
Well, I looked them up and actually, Now, this is a little bit different. They're not necessarily strictly based as websites. These are organizations that serve the purpose of furthering the causes of women. They're just groups. We talked about boys' clubs before, right? Informal boys' clubs.
These are women's
this
clubs.
This is actually, but it's more formal. Let's say we exist to promote the role of women in certain roles around the world.
Wow. And there's even one for girls in tech, right? Did you look that up too?
Yeah. It talks about tech issues and how they can help promote women. And it's a couple of things. One, it helps promote a social issue. But the other thing is this is actually a good networking platform for women in certain fields.
Well, Line 7 also talks about these. There are some venture capitalists. They're kind of like the angels we were talking about, right? The people that help fund, are they?
Yeah, we had talked yesterday about what venture capitalists do. And when they say warming up, that means they are becoming more accepting to this idea of backing companies led by women,
right,
particularly if they read that who controls 70% of online purchases statement.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So they say, well, maybe it is something worth investing in, right?
It must make them think, okay, let's be a part of this action.
And the one that we talked about yesterday, Brit, is founded by Brit Morin, and she's 26 years old. She's the founder of that.
Yeah, she's got this site now. Brit Morin is – there's more to the story. And I was looking up this Brit Morin, and one, she was at Google, okay? And we're going to learn about how a lot of these people at some of these big firms have left the big firms. They've taken their money, started these firms. So they've got the money. The other thing is the networking. And obviously, she knew people from Google. But interestingly, her husband is Dave Morin, a guy who started Path, a website, the social website.
Her husband's in it, too.
Online network.
Yeah.
Path. And so certainly there's money there. He's got connections. So they're certainly going to be able to come up with plenty of funding. And so there's always more to this. And
yeah, it's a little complicated. I don't think I'll start one yet because it's a little complicated. But she did start this one, and she said that she landed or she received $2.5 million, that's U.S. money, in seed money when she tried to start doing this one called Wedgeware.
Yeah.
Now, that's a new word. It's not really a word.
No. You know what kind of reminded me of January,
and
February?
And Wednesday. But what does it mean?
Well, Wedgeware, Doris, is a very interesting site. I got on it, and it's kind of like building your wedding on the computer. I don't know how else to describe it.
Mm.
Now, there's real pros to it, especially if you have a lot of out-of-town guests coming to your wedding. The only thing I saw that would discourage me is I felt like you were maybe giving away too many of your secrets about the big day.
Well, I don't know. But anyway, it seems to be very one that people put money on anyway, right?
Yeah, that's what we've got, seed funding there. And, you know, this is just the money that is needed to start a business or activity. So
right. So if you're going to get married, you say, well, I don't know how we should do everything. Well, look up Wedgeware. Maybe they'll tell you. And there's different sites
it's
to
kind
help
of organizing
people.
Your day.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, what is this Kasia Bukamp? What does she think about it?
Well, we see a quote there in the beginning of this paragraph. It's great to be a woman in tech. It's definitely a buzzy time. And when we say buzzy, it means it's just exciting. Mm-hmm. A lot is happening.
It's the buzz, right? Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, it's a buzz. I've never heard buzzy used before. But, you know, people throw in all these different words from time to time. They're not always in everybody's dictionary even.
That's part of being cool. You have to invent words.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
That's the... So, new millennium, you know, we started doing that a lot.
The dictionaries have a hard time keeping up. But she is the CEO of Birchbox. Did anybody look that one up?
Well, it is something where it's they're selling products mainly, and we see grooming and beauty products. I went there, and certainly not a lot of things that I would be needing, but I know Lois might be interested. You might be interested, Doris.
No, I already know which kind I like. I'm not going to.
But you're not going to change it now, right?
But she's blazing a path, and they're starting something new. When you blaze a path, it sounds like something that's really new and hasn't been done before, and you are getting out there. So I don't know if it's that new, but they're using a lot of buzzy words here.
And you're the pioneer of it.
Right. That's right.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily something new, but it's a new method.
Uh-huh.
You know, what they're doing, they're selling products. It's just a little bit. bit different way, maybe.
What did they do that made you think that it's a different way, Bill? Because there's a lot of websites selling products.
I think it's all – so much of it, Doris, is in the layout of the web page.
Okay.
And that is so key. You need something that is really appealing, that is eye-catching, and it – in many ways, it's got to be artistic and stylish because the web page, in some ways, represents the person.
It's like an ad.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of it, too, is the delivery. I look on a web page and I see, okay, how much are they going to charge me? How long will it take to come to me? But also, will I get free delivery if I order a certain amount of dollar amount?
Well, you better check that one out, Lois.
Delivery of the product.
Yeah, delivery of the product. Yeah. I like the web page, but I'm taking it the step further if I want to return to the web page.
Okay.
Well, that's another one for those of you that want to start one. Think of that.
Yeah.
But foremost among those receiving credit for that is Sheryl Sandberg. Now, what about her? Where's she from?
Well, she currently is Facebook's chief operating officer and interesting person. She's very busy, of course. She's also on the board of the Walt Disney Company. She was on the board of Starbucks before and is all over the place as far as the corporate world, but busy as COO at Facebook. Not only is she busy with doing business, but she's busy at home.
She raises a family and mentors other people that are female. She gives them advice and helps them. So she's quite a busy
lady. I think there must be two of her.
I think so. She's a busy
lady. I don't know how anybody does
this. I don't know how anybody does all that.
I don't know how big her family is. Yeah. It all depends. But anyway, there's another one mentioned here, Sarah Leary. What about her, Bill?
Well, it says here she co-founded, make that, Nextdoor, a private social network for neighborhoods. Now, we had talked about enterprise social networking in, our January article that talked about the end of email. Now, this is a great example. This is Facebook for neighborhoods, and we're going to see a lot more of these different types of networks for targeted small groups. You can actually have a social network for just your neighborhood here on Nextdoor, and you can deal with issues regarding the neighborhood, and it's aimed at bringing neighbors closer together. Which is actually a good idea because now most people, they're just isolating their home.
Yeah. They're too busy to do things, right.
And this is a new platform. This is actually a pretty cool thing. It brings neighbors together who often would not speak to each other.
Did you look it up?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and I thought this was a pretty good idea because our society has become more isolated, whether it's apartments in Taipei or suburbs in America. People, all they're doing is locking themselves in their own home. And actually, Nextdoor serves as a way to break down those walls. Okay, if we're not going to physically see each other, let's at least connect online
know who
in
we
our
are.
Neighborhood.
Yeah. Who lives in our neighborhood?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I know a neighborhood that does this, actually, and they do it through their website of their small city.
Mm-hmm.
So they get this small – you got on the city's website, you click on – to you're a new neighbor or new to town or whatever, and then they get you connected in this club or group, and it's great because you're in a new place, you feel lonely, you don't know anyone, and now you get to know people.
Well, people have had neighborhood newspapers, and they have had other ways. This is just taking it one step further into technology because I know a lot of areas and sections have their own little newspaper and ways that they keep in contact. But this is giving you something that you can do on the web. And it says that this credits the dramatic jump in these angel investors who've taken their riches from these great big companies like Google and PayPal and eBay and those, and they invested them now in startups. So they said, let's get into something new, right?
Yeah, and it's whether it's the angel investors or even a lot of these women. They started at these companies, got stock options, and they actually were able to become very wealthy just by being at these companies that did have a lot of success.
Now, this is talking about the ones in America. We know there's all over the world, all over Asia, every area. But this just gives you a little example of some. And we could mention others that are in other countries, too.
Right.
But today we're just focusing on these. But let's finish reading the article, the second column on page 27.
Social movements take time. Only 1% of venture capital money was invested in companies run by female CEOs in 2010, the most recent year available, according to Dow Jones Venture One. a scant 3% of public companies are headed by women, says research company GMI. There always has been and continues to be a shortage of female-led companies, says Dana Stalder, general partner at VC firm Matrix Partners, which has investments in female-led startups. About 10% of private companies in Matrix's portfolio were founded by female entrepreneurs. Female leaders are convinced that such startups will lead to spin-offs or investments in other companies led by women.
So these social movements always take time, but they are on the go. They're changing, and we're seeing a lot of changes now. But right now, only 1% of venture capital money was invested in companies run by female CEOs in 2010.
Yeah, that was actually a couple of years ago. So that's, I think that information is going to be changing. I bet, Doris, now it's probably up to 3% or 5%, maybe even more, because it's rapidly changing.
I think that's true, because you said, Lois, some of the companies you looked up just started last year.
Exactly. It was, you know, not maybe halfway through the year. So they're not very old at all.
So there always has been and continues to be a shortage of female-led companies. This is what this Donna Stalder said. She's the general partner of the VC firm Matrix Partners. Did you know anything about Matrix Partners?
I did look it up. It's just simply it is a venture capitalist firm. It's a group of people that they get together and bring their money together, and they evaluate businesses. So their website had, you know, some information about them, but they're not going to be saying too much about them because they don't want to be giving away too many of their secrets.
Well, 10% of the private companies in this Matrix's portfolio, they were founded by female entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So you can see the difference. We saw at the beginning of this section only 1% of venture capital money in 2010, but this Matrix Partners, they've got 10% of their money in companies led by women. So you can see a change there.
I found it just really encouraging just reading this whole article just to see how many female entrepreneurs there are nowadays. It's just incredible to me. And it was surprising. And I don't know, I think our women will be encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Well, it says that female leaders are convinced that these startups that we're talking about, they'll lead to other things. What will they lead to, Bill?
Well, they will lead to spinoffs or investments in other companies led by women. Certainly, we could see it. Some of these firms are going to succeed. Some of the ones we've read about here, the smaller ones, they will grow. And then some of the women working there, for instance, maybe there's going to be a young lady working at Brit maybe 5 years from now, after that maybe grows into something else, a couple of the women working there will go start their own website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a spinoff.
And I like that definition of spinoff in our vocabulary focus, Doris. A separate company from parts of an existing company, what Bill was just talking about.
Right. Well, I wonder if the women start all these companies, they're going to have a glass ceiling and they say, well, you're a man, so we can't let you get into this. I hope they don't start that, you know. Because actually, I think we always need to go by who's qualified to do the job. And we always need to think of that, whether they're a man or a woman. And there are certain reasons, because women do have to take time off and they have babies and be with their kids. And so it's not really surprising that most of the companies are led by men. But women help the men, too. So I think we're not trying to be a big women's lib thing that women need to do more. But women are doing things, and they can do things. So I think it works out well, don't you, Bill?
Yeah. It comes down to individual choice. What kind of choice do I make? I'm a man, and I have to decide, okay, do I accept this person based upon their talents and their abilities, or do I make a decision based upon them, whether they are a man or a woman? And hopefully we're progressing towards better choices in that area. Well, before we sign off, we're going to have our feature.
Welcome to another edition of Advanced Technology Today. I'm your host, Skip Fax, and our guest today is Rita Database. Welcome, Rita.
Thanks, Skip. Great to be here.
Yesterday, Rita, I had your husband, Rick Database, on the show.
Yes, I know. He thinks he's so smart, But I'm the real brains in our marriage.
Whoa! Sounds like a bit of a rivalry in the database household.
Rick's jealous about my startup software firm, Rita Research. I received $10 million in seed funding from Bill Gates. Huh! Bill Gates won't even reply to my husband's emails.
Really?
Really.
So, your new firm, Rita's Research, is actually a spin-off from another business that you started, Rita's Pet Manicures. I don't see the connection.
Our software helps pet owners find the best pet grooming and pet supply stores in their city. The demand for our software underscores just how many people want to pamper their pets.
Do you and your husband own any pets? I heard talk about you two having a giraffe.
Giraffe. I'm going to dispel the rumor right now, Skip. We live in an apartment in the city, so it would be ridiculous for us to own a giraffe. But we do have an alligator.
Okay, an alligator. Well, we're almost out of time, so I want to thank Rita Database for joining us here on Advanced Technology Today.
My pleasure, Skip. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I wouldn't want them in my neighborhood, I don't think. I think that's against the law, Bill.
You better make sure that alligator doesn't get off its leash, or you might have some problems with the neighbors. So.
But anyway, it's been a good article, hasn't it, Lois?
Oh, it really has been, Doris. I've really enjoyed what I've learned myself.
Thank you all for being with us. And Bill, I think what we need to let people really realize that there's a lot of opportunities for everybody in the world. Just go out and start in, right?
I hope this article inspires our listeners, whether they be men or women. And if you have got a good idea, don't be shy about it. Explore all of your options and see if you can make it happen. Make sure you are good at networking and just throw it out there to people. They might like the idea.
So thanks for being with us for this article, and join us every single day as we have interesting things to discuss on Advanced. See you next time.
Goodbye.